Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Friday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. Once again, we're grateful that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was giving us opportunity to share the Word of God again with you. Thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. Phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over there, contact us at the email address at godswordsman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, @gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So, amen. For those of you who follow us on Broad Talk Radio, you know it's Friday. You know that means heart to heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens, and I will be joining them. And as we await for my brother to come on and join us, wherever you listen to me at, let us come together and pray. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we're grateful for another blessed day, another God opportunity, and the time that you've given us to assemble together. Father, we pray for the giving of your word today, the gospel of Jesus Christ in its fullness. Father, I pray that those who speak tonight, that you will word their mouth to bring glory and honor to your name. Lord God, not only do we request your spirit to be with us, but that your spirit do what you do, that it will release understanding, revelation, and Lord God, that it may go forth and heal and deliver and set free. So, Father, that you may be glorified this day on this broadcast. So, Lord, we thank you, and we give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for another blessed day in Christ Jesus. Thank God for what he's doing. Glory to God. And I want to say today that, you know, God is revealing in this day and time. He is exposing. And I want to say today, I want to give this thing, this word here. And please hear this. If you are in sin, and especially if you're doing sinful things, quote, behind closed doors, especially if you're doing it to someone and maybe they're not aware, and God has been dealing with you in your heart to repent, but you won't, and you've been holding off and holding off, I'm here to let you know that if you don't do it, you're going to be exposed. There have been men of God through the ages, through the times, even in this modern time, who were exposed. And God had been dealing with them before their exposure, telling them to repent, telling them to turn away from whatever they're doing. And they wouldn't. And so they had to be, quote, uncovered. The cover had to be pulled off of them. And, you know, you hear, just like today, I come across a situation that's been going on now with another man who has called himself a prophet, I know, for quite a few years. And now he is caught up in another situation where he has been, slept with this other bishop's wife, whom this bishop has come on social media to rebuke him. And it has been said by this bishop that this man that calls himself a prophet is unrepentant. He had been unrepentant. Apparently, from my understanding, that he had confronted him and talked to him about it, and that he was unrepentant, and then, you know, trying to put it so that this coming against him was a satanic attack and all this stuff. I'm here to say this. God is exposing people who will not repent in these last days, especially when you, quote, bearing the name of Christ. And perhaps in that you've been using manipulation of the people in the congregation, you name it. And God is saying no more. God gives us all a chance to repent, especially when we're going down the wrong road. See, one thing about God is that when you go down the wrong road, he doesn't just sit there and watch you. He at least tried to warn you. And he tried to tell you, my child, repent, turn back, come back to me. And if you refuse to hear him, you're going to go down to destruction. If you refuse to hear him and the things that you're doing, you're going to be exposed. You know, there's been, you know, people in churches who have been so-called treasure and stuff like that, or whatever, or over the money, who have been stealing money. And you can best believe that God had at some point been dealing with them about, hey, stop doing that. But they wouldn't, so what happened? The cover got pulled off of them. One thing about it, too, God is not going to let us, quote, bring shame to his name. Now, he know that we all miss it. We all miss the mark. We stumble. We say the wrong thing sometimes. We do the wrong thing sometimes. But he still requires repentance. Repent. And if you are the type that, you know, you just won't do it, then the next step is exposure. And there are going to be more exposure of people, especially in these leadership positions, and even those who are, quote, well-known. Because there have been a lot of things even done by those well-known behind closed doors that people don't know about. You know, take, for example, Bishop Eddie Long, and I really hate that with Bishop Eddie Long, but Bishop Eddie Long was doing some stuff he had no business doing. And he had chances to repent. And instead of just buckling down and confessing, you know, he at one point made it light. He was David, and the people that was against him was Goliath and all that. But then there was exposure, the showing of him taking pictures of himself with his phone, sending it to these boys. So, you know, he had chances to repent. And when he wouldn't do it, he got exposed. I say this to you tonight not to make a joke, not to be in the spirit of jesting, but to let you know how serious this thing really is, and how that when you are especially in the leadership position, it is very serious, because you are put in a position, quote, over people. And your job is to lead them to Christ. Now, you know, instead of leading them to Christ or the way of Christ, if you out there doing the dirty and the lowdown, you know, then you're smearing the name of Christ. And see, what happens is that can cause many souls to turn away from Jesus simply because you know what you're showing. And this is why so many sinners are so quick that when you talk to them about accepting Christ, they want to throw about how people are doing in the church. And to be honest with you, they're not all wrong about what they're saying, even though you have to show them that, hey, the people in the church can't save you, okay? And so, you know, I was looking, and this morning I discovered this thing of concerning this prophet, what went down between this prophet and this bishop. I saw it this morning. And, you know, it just, people just something, you know, very serious. Sin is wrong. But to me, especially when you're fooling with another man's wife, that is some very serious stuff, people. And I've listened to people through the years just make light of it. You know, just really make light of it. Even if it was they themselves who were doing it. Like, you know, if the husband is cheating on his wife, and he may get to a point to admit it, and you say, well, hey, that's what you want them to do, right? Confess, yeah, but when you're admitting it, but at the same time you're making light of it, that's a problem, okay? Because you got some people that admit they're doing wrong, but they'll make light of it, so they really is not truly repentant. They really has, and many times they really don't have that really deep or needed remorse for their repentance to be genuine in their confession. So therefore they may say, yeah, I did it. But when you make light of it, and people don't understand when, you know, that's a deep wound. And especially if you were a friend or a brother in Christ or what have you, and you do this thing. And that's the same way if it was with the women, okay? You know, and I just look at that, you know, and many of those in the world do that. You know, many of them, it's nothing for them to cheat on their wives, their husbands, sleep around with a bunch of people, and they laugh and joke about it. But in the body of Christ, we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be different. And according to this bishop, when I was listening to him read this letter and how he was openly rebuking this prophet, according to what I understand and what he was saying, that this prophet was unrepentant about what he did. Now, I saw another report on it that said that this prophet, you know, finally confesses what he did, but when I saw this bishop talking about it, he was saying that this prophet was unrepentant and that he was using other things. If I can paraphrase it, just like this was just a satanic attack on him and all this stuff. So, you know, he was trying to justify what he did. And by saying that this was just the devil doing this, and, you know, but I'm telling you people, you know, and I want to say this to you as a Christian, to the Christians, you know, we have to be very watchful as men and women of God, especially when we're married, and how we deal with the opposite sex, the people outside the marriage. You got to be very, very careful. And one of the things that God dealt with me about, let's say in dealing with adultery, is how that I put him first to say, hey, I don't want to commit adultery because I don't want to hurt my God. Because see, for the long time, you would say, hey, I don't want to hurt my wife. But you don't want to hurt your wife. You don't want to hurt your husband. But when you make God number one, the number one reason why you don't want to do it, okay? Because in the order of God, God is first and your spouse is second, okay? So if you keep the mindset to say, I don't want to do this first of all because I don't want to offend my God and I don't want to hurt my witness of him, for him, then, you know, your spouse not wanting to hurt your spouse, you know, it makes things better, okay? And so, you know, you're hearing more and more exposure, you know. And here's the thing about it, people. The devil enjoy this stuff. I don't know how many of y'all see. I saw one thing on this YouTube, how that, like I said, this pastor, he looked like he may have been in his 50s. And like I say, he apparently was fooling around with this girl. The girl looked like a teenager, maybe 18 or 19. And so the girl mama got wind of it, and she just went to cut loose in the service. They about to haul down and fight, you know. And you look at the girl, the young girl, she just had a little smirk smile on her face, just sitting there quiet, not saying nothing. And so, and this minister, he was married. So, like I said, you know, if you're doing something, especially you got no business doing and sin, and especially if you're committing this thing where it's affecting other people, or you doing dirt to other people too and they don't know it, God's dealing on your heart to repent and you don't, the next step is going to be exposure. And I don't care how many angles you try to cover, you won't cover it all. You know, just like that with that pastor for back here a few months ago, that was, he was exposed for Hillsong, I think. Hillsong branch pastor there, wasn't it Carl Lentz or whatever? Okay, you know, he thought he had everything covered, okay? And see, when his wife found the texts that he was, you know, texting between him and the woman, you know, he was exposed, okay? You know, we got to love God and we got to love our spouses, okay? And to you, men and women of God who ain't married, or, you know, you dealing with someone else's husband or wife, respect them, okay? Respect how you treat them. Respect your words or what you say to them. You know, that's part of walking in love. And one of the things that have destroyed families, I'm talking about even secular families, spiritual families, a lack of respect, which is connected to love, okay? You know, and like I said, the world is more quick and prone to disrespect one another. In the body of Christ, we don't supposed to be that way, okay? We're supposed to love and respect one another, okay? Be very respectful of one another. And so, you know, that's the thing about that, you know. And like I said, you come across people who are not your spouse. They're acting a certain way with you, maybe getting, quote, a little bit too friendly, beginning to be too much touchy-touchy. Now, some of y'all may think, oh, brother, now you're just getting far-fetched. I'm telling you, no, I'm not. And on my job I work at now, I have seen countless, you know, different people who, you know, is married or something like that, just do some stuff that was disrespectful to their spouse, even though their spouse wasn't around. But see, one of the things that's reason why it's done is done in the name of just playing. Okay. Oh, we just playing. Ain't nothing serious. Ain't just playing. We just playing. Well, I remember when I was little growing up, my mama taught me that everything is not a joke. And see, the problem with people, they want to pass everything off like a joke, like we just playing, stuff like that, when it is acts of disrespect. Okay? And one of the things that you have to be very watchful of is when someone other than your spouse is becoming, quote, very playful with you. And I've seen it that when they're very playful, stop being disrespectful, whether it's stuff they say to you or things they do. And many times it start off, the disrespect start off what they say to you. And then if it's not checked at the front door, they go to the next level by getting physical. Now, like I said, I'm telling you what I've seen and what I know, okay? And see, with me, myself, being a minister and being married, I have to be watchful of the opposite sex, even when I'm dealing and ministering to women, okay? I have to watch out for that. You know, you have to be, you know, when you're ministering, especially to one of the opposite sex, many times you have to pray first and ask God for wisdom, okay? Wisdom in what to say and what to do, okay? If, as says a man of God, if you had to go to their house, wisdom say, hey, I'm taking someone else with me, another brother or sister in Christ, okay? And if you let them know that you're bringing a brother with you in Christ or a sister in Christ, and they get upset and get an attitude, then they had another agenda in mind, okay? And they did not want to be delivered. Because we got to remember, Satan is out trying to set so many traps, okay? So many traps. And we got to remember, as husbands and wives, we have a ministry together, okay? We have a ministry together. And I think there's some, in some Christian homes, that is just forgotten. And, you know, it's too much going my own way, okay? If that would have been the case, then what was the need of you getting married? So my thing is like this, you know, and this thing, you know, and many churches that's doing this, even the adultery and all that going on, see, many of them, they know it, okay? In many of these churches, people know it. And that's how the churches ran. They okay it as long as you come to service, okay? And this is why many of these people in the church, they don't worry about going joining another church, because why? They happy where they at because their church don't hold them accountable, okay? So they know they can go out there and fool around their spouse and people in congregation and know it, and they still be able to come in and lead the choir, okay? And you're doing this in the name of the Lord. People, if you don't see why God is going to, in this work of restoration and restitution, and why the exposure got to come, then you're missing it. Because so much of this stuff is being justified among the people in doing this. And it is, and they're, quote, carrying the name of Christ, which in itself can lead many people astray, because when the sinner see you doing all that sin and saying you're a Christian, then they'll tell you, say, hey, if that's being a Christian, they don't need me being one. Then I'm a Christian already. Okay? Amen. And so, you know, many times it grieves me in my heart to hear of something like that, to hear, and especially when it's a brother in Christ, to hear another brother in Christ fooling with someone's spouse, even if it's a sister in Christ fooling with another sister's spouse, you know, it grieves me because, you know, and the way the people, quote, in the, quote, church are acting, they're making light of it, okay? You know, it just talk like, yeah, we did it, but, you know, well, he wasn't paying her no attention. Well, if she felt like that, she needed that bad, she should have went off and prayed, and if she think that wasn't working or he didn't think that was working, then let him go, okay? Then you just go around and just, you know, just fool around, okay?
very, very serious, okay? And, you know, there's some things in your heart that be with you, have been with you, you know, since you were growing up, you know. And I have to say, and this is not tooting my own horn, but even when I was, you know, a teenager you know, growing up, I never was for people cheating and fooling around on one another. And to be honest with you, I kind of saw that when I was little and found out about it with one of my family members that was doing it. And I saw the pain that it was bringing to the other family member who was being done to. So I was like, I don't want to be like that. And so that's how I was growing up. They're just like when I had a, quote, girlfriend, okay? I just went with one. I mean, I didn't, you know, fool with more than one girl. That's being as a teenager, okay? And I always will be watching out for the other one girl if I'm going with a girl that the other girl won't try to flirt with me and stuff like that. That's just how I've been. And you know, and I thank God for dealing with me in my heart. So that's why, you know, I have come across people who their spouses have cheated on them. And I'm going to tell you, people, you know, and I'm not saying this is something where a person can be healed from, but to me, that is a deep wound, okay? Especially to someone who really loved that person. That is a very deep wound. And, you know, that person that has been done to, God has to heal them, and they have to let God heal them, okay? And that's why many people hadn't let God heal them or hadn't come to God for healing. And that wound have grown till it has turned to anger, bitterness, and rage, okay? You got some women today, they have nothing good to say about a man. Nothing good at all. I mean, when you hear them talk, they talk in anger. They talk like they just have an intense hatred for a male. And that's the same way with some males. Some males, same way. They have nothing good to say about a woman. And when they talk about them, the words that come out their mouth about them, that a woman is just lower than dirt. Well, most of the time, when you find the people doing that, they got hurt by someone of the opposite sex pretty bad, and they haven't been healed. Once again, God is doing exposure in these last days, and it ain't over with, okay? It's not over with. You're finna find out, and you're finna find out some stuff that people, even some of these leaders in these mega churches been doing. That's finna be exposed. But hear me on this. When you hear it, do not let it cause you to turn away from Jesus, okay? And that's one of the things that people have let happen. When someone has failed them, disappointed them, cheated on them, stole from them, whatever, the biggest thing they do, they don't just be mad at the person, but it's like they just turn away from God. They quit praying, they quit studying, they quit many times, quit going to church service. And my thing to them is that, why you, quote, turning away from God? I mean, God didn't do it. The person that did it to you did it. God didn't do it. But you just didn't stop. And then with many of them, you know, I remember I talked to a man of my job some years ago, and I was talking to him about, you know, accepting Christ. And one of the things he said out of his mouth, he said, oh, I didn't heard that before. Because I think his ex-wife, I guess she claimed to be saved, you know, the nickname they give for them is Holy Rollers. He said, oh, I heard that before. I used to have a Holy Roller. My wife, she used a Holy. So apparently the way he talks, she must have did some stuff, you know, wrong to him. And see, he's using that to not come to Christ and fail to understand, quote, he's digging his own grave, so to speak, okay? Because without Christ, what you gonna do? Okay, so it's very important, as you know, people of God, that we respect one another. You know, be very watchful. You know, that we don't say and do things out of the way, you know, disrespecting our brother or our sister. Okay. Amen. You know, because that's one of the things you have found, like, say, for example, some men in the church have gotten mad at other men because they have seen that spirit that man operate in always being in a woman's face. And you can tell many times the difference between a man just talking to a woman and a man talking to a woman with that lust spirit on him. Okay, you can tell the difference. And you can tell where he, you know, he flirting or where he's, quote, trying to be in her face. Well, when that man's wife is the one that man doing it to, then you find that man angry at him. And people are like, well, why is he angry at him? Because many times you can see it. That's just like with many women. Okay? Same way. You know, with many women, how they acting, you know, in front of their husband. And then, you know, we have talked about on the broadcast how many of them have dressed inappropriate and exposing themselves to someone else's husband. Well, guess what? That ain't going to sit well with the wife. Okay? Especially when you see what you got on, what you're wearing, and how you're exposing yourself. I mean, any good woman is not going to make them feel good seeing that another woman is doing that. So, you know, this thing, you know, and some of these men, well-known, quote, preachers or whatever, you know, they have this thought that they are untouchable. Okay, and they have been manipulating the congregation, doing things and getting what they want, and they have taken it to a level that they got no business taken to. Okay, some of them, I have to say, have started off humble, you know, but became lifted in pride, and when people start coming to them more, especially those of the opposite sex, hey. They was lacking that attention. Next thing you know, it went to another place. And next thing you know, and it got out of hand. So, like I said, I was looking at that today about this prophet who was exposed. And this same prophet had been in hot water on different stuff through the years. In fact, I think it was like, I don't know, what, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, if it was that long, where he's supposed to have been prophesying, but they come to find out the words he said, he got it from a psychic. Okay, so, you know, and then from what I understand, this is not his first time supposed to have been involved with someone else's wife. So, you know, I listened to the bishop, the husband of the woman that, it's supposed to have been that the prophet allegedly supposed to have been fooling with. He come on the YouTube and he was reading the letter off that he wrote. I don't remember whether he wrote that letter to Brian Karn or he wrote it to the congregation of the church to ease over, passing, whatever. But I can just hear it in his voice and, you know, how it sounds. And he wasn't going off or nothing, okay? But, you know, to find out something like that. And then, you know, if you address a brother about it and he is unrepentant, that just makes it worse. So I ask for your prayers for that brother. I think his name is Bishop Demetrius Senegal. Pray for him that he will be healed. Pray for his wife. And the prophet, supposed to be Prophet Brian Karn, pray for him, the one that's supposed to have done this thing with the man's wife. Pray for him because that he will come truly repentant. Okay? Not that just, you know, faked, prideful stuff, but true repentance, because I'm telling you people, wow. And see, the world likes to hear stuff like this, okay? They, you know, they like to, especially, you know, if there's anybody that they, you know, many of them get a kick out of hearing fall, is a minister, okay? It's a minister. You know, they get a real, you know, some people just go into all of a happy frenzy just to hear a minister get exposed for adultery, fornication, and in this case today, many are being exposed for homosexuality, okay? And there are some who just get a kick out of hearing that or finding that out. That just makes them, because they have this spirit where they don't like ministers, okay? And they just would definitely like to see them fall. Amen. So keep that in mind, people. Keep that in mind. You know, to you Christian wives, your husband got to go off and minister. Hey, make yourself available to be with him. Now, I know there's going to be maybe some times that you might not be able to, but for the most part, you make yourself available to be with him, okay? That's the same with you Christian brothers to your wife, okay? Even if she got to go minister to someone, hey, make it your thing to be with her, okay? Because, you know, the enemy is cunning, you know, and many times people look at that, you know, to see where you at, okay? And many times you have to let, even when the enemy rides your head, you got to let the enemy know, I'm watching you, okay? There have been times, I know there was times that when our kids were growing up and we went to the mall or something like that, and in knowing, quote, other guys, when they want to call themselves getting a sneak look, let's say, per se, at my wife, the first thing they do is look at me. Well, you say, well, why would they look at you? To see where my attention at. So when they look at me, guess what they find out? I was looking dead at them. And so when they saw that, they would kind of turn their head away. Because with many men, the first thing they do is they say, we got to see if the man that she with is paying attention to her. Okay? If he's all off and, you know, looking all over everywhere, or even if he's looking at another woman, then they say, hey, the coast is clear for us. They look at that man and see that man is staring right back at them, then they know that man say, hey, I'm watching you. Amen. And many times you have to let the enemy know I'm watching you. Okay? Not you being so wrapped up in yourself and other things. You know what I'm saying? You know, and like I said, people, I just, you know, I wasn't planning to talk on this tonight. You know, just something that came, you know, on my mind. Because like I said, I first heard about that prophet and that bishop this morning. Okay. And I looked at a little bit of the report from a couple people this morning. But I couldn't look at it in full detail because I had to go to work. And so when I come back from work this evening, and after being in the house here about maybe almost a couple hours, I looked at some more of it. Okay. And so like I said, people, this is a serious thing. And to us as ministers, when you're ministering to someone, especially the opposite sex, please use wisdom. Please use wisdom. Okay. And number two, you know, there are those who's out there hurting the name of just being called a pastor for Christ, okay? And, you know, if you are a minister, a male, you're married, but you like, quote, like getting urges to dealing with other women, you need to go into prayer and you need someone to pray with you and over you, and you need to search out then your heart, then your life, what door is open, okay? Because sometimes, you know, there's time when you can open doors to where this type of spirit becomes strong on you. Whether you're watching stuff you ain't got no business watching, or whether you're listening to stuff you got no business listening to, okay? And then sometimes you have to find out if witchcraft been put on you, okay? So you got different scenarios that you can look at. But, you know, like I said, you know, be watchful, you know, and be wise. And like I said, this is, to me, is very serious. And they said they had been, I know the bishop said that, I think, I don't know if he told the one that's over Brian Carn or whatever, that Brian Carn needs to sit down for a while. And I know he's talking about, you know, where he'd be ministered to. And he need to get out the pulpit and sit down, you know. I don't know if Brian, you know, went ahead and agreed to that, you know, but that would be the right thing to do. You know, that's why I commend Dr. Frederick Casey Price, the late Frederick Casey Price, who just passed, what, a week or two ago. Thank God for him. But that's why I commend his son. And with his son, we never knew the thing that he done, but he knew, and he stepped down for about a year. He did not preach. He stepped down so he can be under the word to be ministered to, okay? And I commend him for that. I really, really do. And I really commend him for that. And so, but now, like I said, you got so many, quote, ministers who, you know, they just doing this stuff and without a care, okay? You know, and see, what it does is it puts you in a place where, you know, people don't trust you. And I pray that Brian Carn will be truly repentant and his eyes will be open to see what big thing that is. Because, you know, when people need a help, but then as a minister, you know, they feel like they can't trust you. Okay? And many times when your witness become destroyed like that, sometimes you might have to go off the witness to people because people around here don't want to hear you. Okay? And like I said, with that, quote, prophet, besides this incident, there have been other things tied to him, you know, that wasn't right. And so this thing right here is not making it any better for him, okay? So, you know, we want to keep them, you know, in your prayers, remember them. Amen. That, you know, God would touch their heart and then they will receive the touch. You know, that's another thing, people. God can deal with you about some, but you still got a free will. And sometimes people act like God's going to just, you know, force people to do right. But no, he's not going to do that. Okay. He would talk to you about doing right, touch you on it, but it's up to you whether you obey and put it to action when it needs to be put into action. If you decide for yourself, say, hey, I just ain't going, I'm not going to stop doing this. And God may come to you again, so my child, repent, you need to stop. And if you say, hey, I just don't want to stop this thing now, well, like I told you, the next step is you're going to be exposed. And it's going to happen at a time that you know not. It's not like you're going to be getting the warning that, okay, it's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to happen at a time that you know not, especially during the time when you think you got all bases covered. Okay? That's when the exposure is going to come. that's when the cover would be pulled off. And like I said, people, this thing is not over yet. There are more exposure to come, okay? Especially of some well-known folks. Now, I'm not here to try to speak curses. I'm just telling you the truth, because there have been some things about those who are well-known, some things they've been doing that they got no business doing, okay? But when you become lifted in pride, and people patting you on the back, telling you how you're a mighty man, a woman of God, and then they begin to do you like the people in the church did Joseph Smith, which, you know, for those of y'all listening to the broadcast, you know, me and my brother been on that those series. And see, with Joseph Smith, that's what the people in the church of that day and time did. They put their trust in him. They made him like he was the very mouth of God. And that's a big mistake, okay? And you got things like that going on today. But like I said, people, it very much, you know, grieves my spirit to hear some things like that and to see that. But this is what's happening today among, quote, the body. And this is one of the things that God is going to cleanse out of the body, okay? It's going to happen. It's going to happen, people. God is going to cleanse the body, his body, okay? And all that don't want to get with the program, you're going to be cleansed out. Amen. The phone number, once again, is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, I'm going to patch my brother on here. God bless, bro.
Bless, brother. Thank God.
Amen, God. Amen.
Yes, sir. Continue.
Bless the day in the Lord. What say now?
Yes. Continue. Well, you were finishing your statement, yo.
Just talking to the people about wisdom with your spouse. Things I just, you know, was looking at the report today. About another, quote, well-known prophet just got exposed for sleeping with a bishop's wife. And the bishop, he has addressed an open letter of rebuke to this prophet. From my understanding that he wanted to go to the church where the prophet was. Him and this prophet had been friends that, and I think he was like, I don't know, was he like an overseer over this prophet at one time or something, but he wanted to go to congregation, but they wouldn't let him, so he talked to the bishops and stuff that's over him, and they told him, say, that quote, they gave him permission to do the open rebuke, so he went to social media on it, on the YouTube. His name is Bishop Demetrius Senegal. And the prophet name is, I don't know if you heard of Brian Karn, Prophet Brian Karn. And, you know, so I just talked to the people about at Christian couples, wisdom, you know, what we say we're doing, how we deal with the opposite sex outside of our marriage. So, yeah, brother. So, good to hear from you on this blessed day. Amen.
Okay.
I was just about to holler at the sisters, you know, right before you came on. In fact, I was just going to holler at her and say, hey, where the sisters at? So, but.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, all right. I kind of got a dozed off there and get a little nap there that catching up on a little sneeze there. But anyway, it's good on this tonight to remember the Lord and his goodness. And I was talking with a sister, and I was telling, we have been talking about certain signs that certain events are about to take place were spoken in the prophets on this end time. I said, because on her job, they are putting pressure on her, but I think she's the only one has not taken the inoculation or whatever they call it, immunization against
The virus, the vaccine.
Yeah. And so we had spoke about it some months ago. I said, all the business in the cities and different structures or come to a place where they're going to put pressure on you that in any place you give it in the business, trying to force you to that you have to take this untested experimental drug. And so on her job, she's the only one, and they're saying, you're putting everybody else in danger. I said, we knew. We had talked about this. We had previously been talking about that with her. I said, what is going to eventually come. And so she's the only one on her job site that has not taken it. And the job is kind of saying, I said, we had said they're going to have to come to a place where they're going to command you or put a restriction where you have to take it, this untested experimental drug. And I said, now, this is going to come to every place. I said, they're going to put this kind of restriction that you have to take it. Then it's going to come down to you have to take it. I said, now,
right.
This is controlling you or experimental. It's just how they are going to the next step. They're setting up where you're going to take the mark and the number of the beast. I said, you're going to see it the same way they do with your children have to take these shots before they can go to school. And so they're doing all the business, the places you're going to work, you're going to put a restriction. I said, now, so on her job in the downtown of Chicago, Loop, she's the only one that has not taken a job. And all the people on the job, bosses are saying, you're putting everybody in danger. I said, this is a setup to get the mark of the beast. They're going to put a slowly, the same way they're doing this so-called immunization against the virus. They are forcing you in area of slow, putting, violating your constitutional rights and experimented drugs. And so you're going to lose a lot of stuff, and the job going to say you have to, and this is going to say you have to, and this is how they're going to bring in the mark number of the beast. The same way they started with this, you must take this. And so I was telling her, I said, I'm going to get me a law cabinet and go and do the Abraham Lincoln, y'all forget about it, because you're not going to force me my constitutional right to take an experimented drug that some people have died from it. Some people had bad reaction, a few of them. And so people are going to die, and they are willing to take the high risk. Said, so what? So 1% going to die, but we're going to make everyone take this drug or immunization against this virus. It's a setup, two-way setup. So what do you think about it?
Well, brother, they didn't got to a point they put on our screen at work today that, hey, you go get your shot, We're going to give you a $10 card for Subway. That's it.
Wow.
Look at E4 here. A $10 card for Subway. Wow.
And so, you know,
on my job, brother, this guy, he asked me, because our supervisor came to us about 3 weeks ago with a paper, and he went around asking everybody, the company want to know, do you want to take the shot? I said, no. Now, the guy that was with me, he was like, he was kind of caught up. I don't know what to do. And my supervisor standing there, well, I need an answer. I get back to you. So when my supervisor walked off, he said, Nate, what if they try to make you? What you going to do? I said, well, a decision got to be made. That's what I told him. But, yeah, I know that, but what you going to do? I said, a decision got to be made. Okay?
Yes. Now, suffering loss, taking a stand. We know it's a day where that each step in our society with a rule, step by step, is leading to the day of what we call the numbering system, the mark of a beast, or you will not be to operate for buying or sell. And this is the same steps, stairway to that day of decision about the mark of the beast, the number of the beast. Now, what they're going to do in every workplace, in every business, I knew it was coming, where, you should take it. And then the restriction will be, well, you're putting everybody's life in danger. And so then later on, they're going to say, well, you have to take it because you can't be in the workplace. Then they're going to say, your job or your school. And so it's going to put pressure. Then it's going to be a command, you have to. Now, this is a violation, intrusion, really, into your very constitutional right of not only about your health, but then it's violating of humanity a rule that you forced to take a drug that may have a deadly reaction it has on a few people. And that way, they're going to put this rule, well, you can't, and so you can work at home 2 days. Then the next day, say, well, we got to have you, so you can't be here without. And it's going to be in the medical place. Then they're going to be in the business and the city governments. Well, everyone has to take to be in the city, come do business in this. Then they're going to have any contracts. When you sign a contract, you got to sign this, that you've taken the drug and you're going to take it 2 times. Then the situation going to come where millions of people, and they're going to trillions of doctors in the medical center and other people are making trillions of dollars out of this. This is a setup both ways, not only to remove some of the population, to cut it down. Secondly, to cut the population. Secondly, to bring a rule of law that takes the next step where you'll be forced to do business or anyway in the mark of the beast, the number of the beast, under the world's new government, social government. So it's eating closely to that.
Amen.
And this virus was a conspiracy. And I'm going to say this, like we was talking. This virus was a release with several purposes behind by men of power in certain nations. It was released with a purpose and an aim behind it. Okay?
Right.
So it's working its purpose that it was released by men for. So anyway, I thought it was very interesting to let know everyone going to be later try to be compelled, or else you're going to suffer a great loss, financial loss, job loss, be able to communicate or to go here. No, you can't go down to the Sears Tower and operate in there. You got to have a paper that say that you have been immunized. So it's going to come to a day of stand and a decision about you being forced, you being compelled, or else you cannot any longer operate in this particular job. Now, or a particular area of where you're doing business with any part of the government or any job site, they're going to say, well, then I told the sister, I said, have them sign the paper that they are liable for your health of anything if you take this drug. They have to be a liability. But then she said, no, they got a paper where they want you to sign before you take this drug that they are not responsible at all for anything to happen to you. I said, see?
Wow.
I said, don't you see? Don't you see what they're covering themselves? I said, you say what? Well, you have no rights. I said, well, then to put it back on them, you are liable. If anything happened to me taking this drug, see, now, see, they're clearing the way where they have no responsibility for your reaction or your family when you take any, this experimental drug. And say,
right. This
is creating, this is what I call creating new trillionaires, not billionaires. This is going to treat, this drug is going to be, and things connected with it, it's going to create trillions and trillions for certain people.
Yeah.
And it tells you how they're going to cut the population.
Yeah.
How they can control the population. And the New World Order and government, it will be come in and there'll be laws enacted. And we're right there now. We're right there now, right at the door, where the anti-government control, anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-Bible, there'll be rules made from this decision by the coronavirus. These powerful, powerful, rich people that control, you'll be surprised what they have conspired to release certain things to cut down certain population. You know, originally, the woman that started this birth control and population was, what's her name? This white
Margaret
lady
Singer.
Who was a racist,
Margaret Singer. Yes.
Yes. And her really original, her original plan was to stop all these babies in the black community. There was too many black babies being born. In Israel, when they put them in slavery, came a decree from the Pharaoh in Egypt to the Israelite people who had came down when Joseph was in second command. Joseph was in Egypt, and Jacob had came and there to Egypt, and they had begun to multiply. And then the Pharaohs, after Joseph had died, he saw that they were multiplying too fast, too many babies. And so we got to stop all this population because there'd be more than us and put us in danger. So all of these things are in consideration.
Yeah.
So it's coming to a day of decisions and decisions. What do you think? Yeah.
Amen, brother. This is why God is calling us to come closer and a deeper consecration, because your very faith is going to be tested, you know, to really believe God. And I agree with you, brother. I see where this thing is going, because like I said, they offer us a $10 card for Subway.
$10.
Then they told you, anytime your appointment's set up, you can leave work, go get the shot, and come back to work. Okay.
Oh yes, that'd be very nice. They're gonna be very accommodating.
Nice.
Very accommodating.
Yeah.
This is a step where the government, United States government, whatever in office, are now making secret rules to pass to control the society and command them to do certain things. Now, behind ourselves, what's that, Revelation 6, how this new world order is going to come, controlling the money, whether you can do business, buy grocery, or do community, or go get your log cabinet. Like I told sister, I'm just going to go get my log cabinet, do Abraham Lincoln, build me a little log cabinet, and go in a certain spot. You know what the Bible says? When these things, when you see signs, it said prepare yourself. Get ready.
Right.
It's leading to that final step of the Antichrist, the New World Order, controlling the money, your decisions and one world society under their control. And they are now, 2021 is a great change, like we talked about in 2018 and 2019, when we were praying about the great shaking and awakening and where it's going to begin to lead to. Well, we're at the step stove behind you. Now, listen, it's going to be some kind of a blessing, and the people who are removed from the earth and died and going to heaven, they don't have to face this. So that's a positive side of that, about the Christians that have been taken home to be with the Lord. But there is a testing of the saints. And now I want to ask a question. Have any of these so-called prophets on TV talked about this particular, what people should do?
Oh, you talking about doing this concerning the virus or concerning these things in general?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, brother, I've heard maybe a couple out of all of them. One of them, I mentioned this sister to you. Her name was Shaniqua Byers, United for Christ Church. She have basically, she have given the warning even since last July, I think. And I forgot all what she said on it, and she's been back on there again. I just looked at it the other day. But most of them, you know, now they've been talking about, you know, what they see God from the, you know, do for them and bring for them and stuff like that, you know. But
yeah.
Did
Mr. Trump, he took the immune yet in his family?
Hey, he took the
what did he take when he was sick, when he caught the virus? They was giving him all the different things, okay, to keep him alive.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And it was very secret what he was being given. They did not get all the information, and they did not want the public to know. So anyway, we're coming to a day of also decision, because it's going to affect your decision, and your constitutional right is going to be eroded. Most of all your constitutional rights are going to be eroded by a controlled system that governs, well, this is good for society, and you have to protect this in the name of this. This is what they're going to do. Now, Daniel prophecy, the prophets of Daniel concerning this particular day, Daniel prophesied about a timeline, and he used the prophetic timeline, 1260 days, which is years prophetically. Then he spoke about a time 1290 days prophetic timeline. Then he chose another time, 2300 days, signed years. So he gave these particular timelines, says after the 1260 days, after 1290 days, and the 2300 days. Have you all got to that time period yet in your discussion, Brother Robert and you?
Yeah, we did the 2300 and the 1260 days. I think we didn't get the 1290, but we got the 1260 and the 2300. Now we've been on the Nephi record and talking about the we've been going to the, not just the humble side, but the failure side of Joseph Smith.
Yeah. Now I want to know, where is the voice clear cut of the watchman on the wall who's warning the nation? Isaiah talked about that the Lord set a watchman on Israel, who called the watchman, who was a watch for the coming of the enemy. And he was called the watchman. And he was on the wall, and he was to tell and give the warning when the enemy was approaching. And the question was, watchman, what seest thou? What's coming to pass? What's going to happen? What do you discern? Whereto the voice of the Lord says, watchman, what seest thou? Now, I don't see too many watchmen. I know I see all these people calling themselves prophets and, you know, and prophets and apostles and evangelists on the now on YouTube, just a whole bunch of them. Oh, there's prophets all over the place. Some are notable. Some seem to be legitimate, authentic prophets of God. Now, most of the prophets, especially in America, are trying to figure out how to get Trump in the office and get Biden out, even though he's the president. The lady on the Facebook told me that in God's sight, now this is what this lady responded to me, she will not call Biden the president because God does not see him as president. Now, I didn't reply to that because that was too ignorant and too foolish to respond to certain things. So you just don't even respond to ignorance and some things that are too ignorant and too gross, stupid. She saying, God don't see Mr. Trump as being president, so I'm not going to call him president. I'm going to call him Biden. Now, if Mr. Trump had won, they all be saying, Mr. President, Mr. Trump, he won. And if you don't call Mr. President president, you are a traitor. But now they don't want to call Mr. Biden because they want to use God as a scapegoat. God don't see him as president. Now the stupidity of that he was duly elected to the electoral process and is the president because the people, this is the way they authenticate their new office. But now because they don't want Biden or Harris, they're not the real president, they're not the real vice president. These people are setting up for these riots and race riots, which I saw years ago in these cities being overturned with race riots over this and over that. So the best, and behind, before, just in the start of this, there is going to move to see the hand of God, the hand of Christ, through the move of calling for the saints to stake their ground, begin to fast and pray till revival come to overcome the devil.
Well, let me ask you a question. Out of all those prophets that, quote, prophesied that, how many did you see repent?
I haven't seen, but really a couple. Out of the hundreds of ones in the last year that's been prophesying all over the place. I mean, on YouTube, you can look on the one that's well-known around the world, the notable ones, the notable leaders in the Christian community, in the faith, charismatic, prophetic movement. Oh, they have been prophesying. Oh, Mr. Trump is the man. Oh, he's God sent. Oh, he's going to win. Oh, it's absolutely, he's going to win. There is no doubt God said. And I have not seen them making up all kind of new prophets now to cover themselves. They made a mistake. They erred, or they even lied, or they were deceived, and they have not repented openly to the people. They have made excuses. Oh, he's not the president. Now, he's been duly elected, like every president that we have had for the 45 or 46 president, duly elected process. But now, since Trump did not win, they're going to reject the process, the Constitution process, electoral reason to elect president, duly elected. They don't want to accept this. So they got to cover themselves. The supporters of Trump are covering themselves, making all kind of ungodly excuses and reasons. And the prophets all around the world, there may be a few, maybe less than 1% or 1%, has come out and said, I missed it. I was wrong. I made a mistake. And would y'all forgive me? These other prophets, you're going to find out about their character. You're finding about the character because Jesus said in these last days, you'll have many, many, many so-called prophets coming on the scene. And so we see just what they will not humble themselves. And they just you haven't seen Mr. Trump humble himself before American people and repent and confess it like Daniel the prophets did, like King David did. You have not seen Mr. Trump or these prophets humble themselves. Let's say I missed it.
No, because if I'm not mistaken, the other day they said something, what, he's probably trying to start a new party? He's going to be coming with a new party? Oh, my God.
He's,
well,
see, he got all these supporters and they're blind. And these are the so-called patriots. Whatever they do, they are patriots. They are called patriots. That means they can break any law, violate any constitution or judicial law. In the name of supporting America, this is America country. Now, and so that means violence is going to ensue and consume. Divisions are going to continue in America, divisions. Party division, social, racial divides going to get bigger and bigger, slowly and slowly. And the evil is not going to stop. And so they're going to try to win by evil means. Here's the thing about God. God is just, holy, and righteous, and his ways are above our ways, the scripture says. Now, when Israel and its kings, and you can look at the history of the kings of Israel, how did he deal with wickedness and ungodly kings, and how did he deal with them? From the point of how he worked his will when these kings ruled. Now, did he tell Israel to use wicked and evil means to overthrow them? Well, we have to look at the history of the governments that were in Israel under the kings. Now, these prophets had stood on the wall, and what did most of them say a month ago or 2 months or 3 months or 4 months ago?
Oh, they said Trump was going to win. They said that things is going to turn around. They even said that it's going to be exposed that Biden didn't win. Oh, they put all that on there.
But notice, they used every legal means. That was one of the reasons that when Trump was in office, he tried to set it up by saying over and over again, a fraud for all year. See, he was setting himself up that when he lost the process by voting, that he lost to Electoral College, he was for a year, well, it's going to be a fraud. They're still in the votes. They're still in the votes. They're going to be a fraud. They're going to be a fraud. So he's getting his people, and he's setting up everybody. He's constantly saying this until they believe it. It's going to be a fraud. They're going to steal the election. But notice, when he won, Trump won, it was no stealing, no robbing of the election. Notice, as long as he's winning, they just want to accept Mr. Trump. He won fairly and square. He won fairly. He won the election. But when somebody else is winning, it's fraud.
Yeah.
It's fraud. See how the hypocrisy of this, how the hypocrisy, they're using hypocrisy to cover up and deceive it and manipulate. Now, they have put Mr. Trump as being the only deliverer for America. You get this?
Yeah.
And if Mr. Trump don't get in, America going to go down the tube. And that's the only way America can be delivered is through this God-chosen Mr. Trump. And he's the what you might call the Pope, the infallible one, to deliver America. That's how his supporters. Now, the Lord put him in office. I kind of agree with that. I believe he was called to put in office. And just many kings in Israel were put into the kingship. But the Lord put it up and the Lord removed. The Bible says in Daniel, the Lord put up kings and rulers, and he removes them also. So they cannot accept the will of the people concerning the adversary, the Democrats. But when the Republican had won, they'd be shouting all in the street, dancing on the rooftop, okay?
Yeah.
There would be no... The Democrats will say, well, we're going to court. Why y'all going to court? He won fairly square. You don't need to go to no courts. Y'all just don't want to accept it. But since the Democrats won, oh, they went to the courts. They went to the federal lower courts, the federal courts, the appeal court. They're going to every court. And every court said no. There's no evidence to overthrow Rex. Now, a lot of these judges are Republican. There were some of the judges that appointed. And the reason he appointed all these judges is when Trump appointed all these judges to make sure that he would win if he had to go to the courts. It was all a setup. That's why he wanted to get the U.S. Supreme Court, the people in there. One of the reasons. Said so he could go to them, and they favored him, and they lied for him to put him in office if he didn't win. Now, this is all a set underlying conspiracy by the Trump to make sure he overthrow the will of the people. And I'm going to say it because that's what it's about. And now they got to come up. Biden will be president in the next 2 months. These prophets, what they call themselves, great prophets, right? Well,
right.
The Bible says something about these prophets who will not humble themselves and admit it. And when I say this says about their character and the presumption of their pride and ego. And they now listen, even Mr. Trump has not repented of anything that he did. Now, in the eyes of his people, he is infallible, almost infallible. They will kill for him. Listen, when you want to see whether a thing is about God, when they stormed the Capitol, it reveals the hidden evil, what I call the hidden evil and the hidden conspiracy. Okay. Now, some of the things Mr. Trump said was good. I said some of the things the Republicans said seemed to be very good. Some of their agendas seemed to be good and proper. They seemed to stand up for Christians' rights and stand up for Bible. They seemed to stand up for – but did you know one thing they did not come out and stand up for? Do you know the two things they did not stand up for? Notice they stood up – the Republicans, they took a stand on some good things, abortion and – standing for Christian rights and prayer and protecting our borders, all of those are good things. Okay. But you know one thing they did not really stand up for? Out of all this standing up for Israel, standing up for our borders, which is all good, I agree. But they didn't tell you about their hidden agenda. They have a hidden agenda just like the Democrats got a hidden agenda. They're not telling their people. All of them got these hidden agendas. Now, the Republicans seem to stand up for the Christians and the Bible and for abortion and to protect our borders. That's good. But the Democrats are not as much as hypocritical. They come out and tell you they for same-sex marriage. They tell you, say they for abortion. They for want an open border. They just come out with all these ungodly things open. It's open. They're passing laws to restrict your Christian rights. They come openly, and you know what they're going to do, these liberal Democrats are going to do. But the Democrats, they hide in the dark and present some good things, but they have a hidden agenda behind it, and it's not all good. It's a secret society. Secret society controlling this. Behind the scenes, secret society controlling these decisions of our nation. Hallelujah. It's the spirit of the beast and the spirit of the Antichrist behind this, getting ready to change the order of our government and the world through America. And now, brother, there's going to be restrictions on what you can preach. So y'all better preach, teach, prophesy all that God give you now.
Amen. I agree with you 100%.
Better get it in. I'm known on Facebook. Brother, I'm known on Facebook. I'm putting it all out there. I'm known. Amen. I'm collecting all kinds of tomatoes and cucumbers being thrown at me, boy. I'm known. I'm getting a reputation.
Well, we gotta keep on keeping on with it, brother. I agree with you. You're right. Right now at the time, we gotta go ahead and lay it down. I mean, you know, as like we doing with this record of Nephi, brother, and then talking about Joseph Smith. I know backlash coming off from that. I already know it. Okay, I know that, but you know,
yeah,
it got to be told.
Yeah. when you be like the voice of John the Baptist in his day, you see in the day he stood out in society in rebellion just like America and the world is against that which is right, good, and excellent. John the Baptist cried in the midst of a wilderness of confusion and rebellion against the living God. It's the same type of society that John the Baptist came in his day. And he cried out against the structure, organized religion and government among the Jews. And he cried out for their rebellion and their sins was causing the condition of the world. Now, you notice that America don't want to take responsibility why this condition exists in America or the fallen state because of their idolatry and their sin and their paganism. They're not saying that. They're saying, we need Republicans, we need them, and that's going to change the situation. But they're not talking about changing the hearts. You notice that the Republicans and a lot of the conservatives who claim stand up for right and good and the flag and for a good old America, they're not talking about the righteousness of God. You notice they're not talking about the righteousness of God. They're talking about we need the conservatives in there. And the conservatives got a lot of some good things in society that they help society. But you notice what they're not talking about. They're not talking about we need a spiritual change of heart. We need a revival. We need to get back to God, the old-timed way of the gospel, the changed lives and hearts and minds of people. They're not talking too much about that. They're not talking about we need a spiritual awakening. We need to go back to the book of Acts. We need to go back to 1903, the Azusa Street Revival, that God brought that in to save America. 1906, he raised up in the 1879, the Cane Ridge Revival in Kentucky to save this, turn America back. They're not talking about that today. They're talking about these laws only, the social laws and judicial laws, which is good. But they're not talking about the changing of the hearts of people. You notice what they're not talking about. And do you notice that one of the things that's absent for the conservative Republicans is about the rights and the mistreatment of blacks in our society and the browns and the Indians. You notice they're not mentioning that.
No.
Now, they're talking about some other good stuff, huh?
We got about a minute and a half left, brother.
And on this conservative who seem to be Christians, they're leaving out the mistreatment of a whole nation of people called the black people. So Trump is not saying the Republicans, they're not talking about all discrimination, the brutality, the rejection of our rights, the KKK community, the Nazis, they're not talking about the righteousness. Let us call on God. Let's cry out to God to change the heart of America back to God, back to Jesus, back to the gospel. They're not talking about that. They want to legislate laws, but the laws cannot change the hearts of people. So today, beloved, you better pray and intercede for America because the Antichrist, through the liberals now, about to change your virtual constitutional rights about worship and many other things. You better seek and pray and stand in the gap, because the Babylonian society is knocking at the door. Now, beloved, go back to the old-time gospel and bow your knees to save your nation, America, and your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Make a decision today. Say, Lord, save me, a sinner. Save me, come in my life, and deliver me. Wash me from my sins. I commit my life to you, Jesus Christ. Make me whole and make me new again. And, Lord, help me to find a place where I can be baptized in Jesus' name, and those that have the authority to be baptized in Christ, and be filled with the Holy Ghost, and be in the family of God, make a decision to be in the family of God in Christ, and be on the safe side. Be blessed now.
Amen. And don't forget, tomorrow night we have another Heart to Heart with Brother Lee the Handmaidens at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Look for the advertisement. And as well, me and Brother Robert Gross will be back on tomorrow night from 6 to 6:30, 30-minute broadcast, as we go even further concerning the work of the Lord, the Record of the Nephite, and concerning Joseph Smith. So, once again, as for Brother Lee, this is Brother Nathaniel. We love you all. God bless you. God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless, brother.
God bless.